Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody, and today is the first episode of February. February has a brand new theme because it's a brand new month. This month, I'm going to be doing romantic comedies that make me cry. Yeah, that's right. I said it. I'm going to admit to the movies that made me cry. It's a short month, so there's only 4 weeks, so I have four movies that I am going to watch and then talk about. Today's episode is probably my favorite of them all, I will have to say, next to next week's movie that I'll talk about, well, next week. This week's episode is 500 Days of Summer. This particular movie is, if you haven't seen it, you should, because it's awesome. But... this movie was directed by Mark Webb. If you don't know who Mark Webb is, his career is very short. He is a terrific director. Not all the stuff he's done is terrific, but that's not his fault. He has had some bad choices being made, not totally by him. But his very first movie was 500 Days of Summer. He followed it up with The Amazing Spider-Man, the one with... Andrew Garfield, and unfortunately Amazing Spider-Man 2. Again, not his fault. You know, not totally his fault. He fell into the realm of, you know, big studio movies and didn't work out so well. But he came back after that and directed Gifted with Captain America, Chris Evans in it. Terrific movie, and very poignant movie as well. And then I haven't seen yet this, but The Only Living Boy in New York is his newest movie. He had come out last year as well. I have not seen it yet. I heard it's terrific. But, you know, I can't say if it is or not. So I don't know. Whatever. He's done a couple TV shows. He directed an episode of The Office. He directed an episode of he directed the pilot for Limitless, the TV show based on the movie. He did an episode of Crazy Ex, or two episodes of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and stuff like that. So, you know, that's good. But that's it for Mark Webb. He did an amazing job in this movie. But the movie itself was written by a duo by the names of Scott Nedstander and Michael H. Weber. They have had a... they had a rocky start, I would actually say, to their career as well. They started 500 Days of Summer. Then they did Pink Panther 2 the same year. And a couple of years later, they did The Spectacular Now. They wrote as well as they did executive producing in some of them. But they did The Spectacular Now, The Fault in Our Stars, Paper Towns, and then just most recently, The Disaster Artist. And a movie I didn't actually ever heard of, Our Souls at Night. I didn't know what that one was. They have a couple other ones coming out, one more later this year, and then, a couple more coming up from now, from there. So those two wrote all those movies together and produced a lot of those. The Disaster Artist is obviously the most well-known and actually, you know, got nominated for some awards and everything, like big time awards. But that's the guys who wrote it. So on to the actual movie, itself. So the movie, I'll explain the whole process of, the whole idea behind the movies for this month. They are romantic comedies in a sort, you know, that funny parts as well as romantic parts. But they're all movies that, I love watching. But also, every time I watch them, I cry. Not a lot. Well, with this one, a lot. Unfortunately, this one, a lot. There's so many parts in this movie that are just so heart-wrenching. But this movie, again, if you don't know what it is, it stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Zooey Deschanel, and a slew of other people who we'll talk about in a little bit. But it's mostly about them. So this one, and going through these, I've watched the first two already, this one of the next weeks, and realizing that all four of the movies I chose for this month not only the romantic comedies that make me cry, and not just, well, actually this one has all sad tears, but the next week's has happy tears too. But they also are very steeped in music. The soundtracks are fantastic. Music is enveloped in the actual movie itself, quite a bit. And I'll get to that more in a little bit on this movie too, because there's a, not as it, the soundtrack is used in the movie, that the actual characters interact with too. But it's a score that goes along with the actual movie itself to be the, you know, background music you hear, but they intertwine it into things that, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, Tom, is actually listening to, you know, like that. So yeah, it's pretty, pretty spectacular. The movie is shot, and edited in an interesting way. It's very Quentin Tarantino-ish. It starts at the end, sort of, and kind of goes back and forth between the further in the past, a little bit in the future, and then of course, penultimate ending, and the end of the movie is the end of the story. And again, I'll get to that in a minute. And again, spoiler alert: I'm going to spoil this for you guys. If you haven't seen this, stop now and watch it, or just continue listening and, you know, whatever I ruin for you. But, so the movie itself is narrated, in a interesting fashion. The narrator is a famous voice, for a couple different things. So his name is Richard McGonagall, McGonagall, if you couldn't understand my slurred speech there. McGonagall is his last name, Richard McGonagall. He has done a lot of things. He's a voice actor for way back in the day. He's done television shows. He's so many that it's hard for me to even like tell you what he's done. But he's done voices for video games. I would definitely listen to audiobooks by this guy if he did them too, because his voice is pretty, pretty awesome. I'm trying to think if any of these will make any real, probably not. None of these are really going to make you go, oh, that guy. But it doesn't matter. It's excellently done by the narration by Richard. And when you watch the movie, if you do watch the movie, you'll understand what I mean by, it's fantastic, because it's not told so much so by the voice of Joseph Gordon-Levitt as when he's older or anything. It's just this disembodied narrator voice, known as just the narrator. Doesn't actually have, like, he's not a character in the movie that we know of, mainly because he talks about everybody in third person, by their names and stuff. You know, he calls them by Tom, calls them by Summer, things like that. Well, actually just those, because this narrator just talks about those two in general and their life together. Their brief life together. So the movie is a clever name, 500 Days of Summer. It's basically the movie is, it's called a nonlinear narrative. Basically what it means is it jumps between various days within the 500 days of Tom and Summer, being in a relationship together. And that does it in a way to tell a story in a certain way, but also, to kind of highlight certain parts of the relationship, the good and the bad, and it puts them against each other. So you'll have a good one and a bad one, and a bad one and a good one, and a bad one and a bad one and a good one, you know, but it goes back and forth, and there's like medium days and there's like okay days. But it's cool the way they do it, because it's not just, jumping into a bad versus a good. It even gets these medium ones where, like, in the beginning of it, and when I say relationship, this isn't just, you know, from 500 days of them being boyfriend and girlfriend. This is 500 days of the first day he meets her, to the last day he interacts with her. So that 500 days, that go along in those. So 500 days happen between those things. So, you know, a little over a year and a half or so, a little less than 2 years, really, I guess you should say. The The whole story is this. So Tom Hansen is played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Summer Finn is played by Zooey Deschanel. Tom is I don't want to say greeting cards, but that's what it basically is. Just like a greeting card writer, of this small greeting card company. And then Summer Finn, who is his boss's new assistant, he sees her, instantly falls in love. And then through the narrative, you find out that she is very against love ever since her parents broke up. And you learn more about that as the story goes on. But Tom, ever since being a young man and being into he blames it on all the pop music he's listened to and all the movies that he's watched have lulled him into this sense of love that he believes is out there and that he'll feel it one day. And throughout the course of the movie, he thinks he has that with Summer. And as you slowly find out, he does not have that with Summer. But spoiler alert, it doesn't end well for both of them, at least together, which is different than the other three movies for the month. This one is a romantic comedy, but it doesn't have that same kind of happy ending where it's boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love. They lose each other somehow and come back together. Obviously, that's the more common one. This one's very different, especially next week's is different too, but not like that one's got a little more, is a little more cut and dry in a way. It's also very different too, but more of that next week. So 500 Days of Summer, the way they do the story is it's majority of it is through, majority of it, very much of it is through Tom's point of view. So you see him interacting with, Summer, you can see him interacting with his friends, his sister, some of his coworkers, but it's always kind of finding his point of view. You don't really get anything from Summer's point of view unless they're together. And then it's basically just his point of view towards her and what's going on. So it doesn't, the narrative doesn't jump around between multiple people. It stays focused on Tom the entire time, but is, told, as like a view of his life, but only getting to view him and nothing else. You don't get to see Summer off by herself. It's just whoever interacts with Tom at the time. So it's pretty interesting, way of doing it, because you don't get that extra stuff going on. You have to learn through what the same way Tom learned, which is very good, a very interesting way of telling the story, because you don't get a chance to see background information and meet other people and see how the other half live. You're just going through Tom, so you're in the same boat as Tom as you're going through the story, because you're also at a loss of what's happening and what's going on with his relationship and stuff like that. So it's a very interesting way of doing it. But that's a non-linear, that's the narrative in general. Non-linear narrative basically means it doesn't go in order. It starts on a day farther in, which is the towards the end of the relationship, and then goes back to the beginning and kind of goes back and forth, and has a cool way of they do this this animated picture of these trees. It looks like summer, and it goes either bright for good days, kind of warm for medium days, and then dark and dreary for bad days of the relationship, and then back and forth as they go. So every time it switches to a new day, it tells you what day it is of the 500. And then by the look of everything, leaves on the trees, blah, 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 it's a good day, bright colors, dim colors, means it's a bad day. And then neutral colors means it's a warm day, of the relationship. There's a lot of, very well done scenes in this. One of them is, there's this one particular one I want to talk about. The misunderstanding of the end of The Graduate, which is part of Tom's failing as being this love-struck dumb idiot, because he misunderstands at an early age the ending of The Graduate. And I'm not going to go into what that actually is, but what he sees as the fairy tale romantic ending, that is The Graduate, later comes back for twofold. well, the ending of it is one fold. It comes back to how Summer is, she insists on what, basically, she sees the graduate when she sees it with him. She's weeping at the ending, which surprises Thomas. He's always thought that it was a romantic fairy tale ending, versus the one that she, the way she sees it. So obviously you see them both, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of their attitude, to that movie from each other, or to and each other. And it's done in a way, but the other graduate scene that I'm talking about is the first time that they, are intimate together. Because she's very, forward in saying she doesn't want a boyfriend and she doesn't want to tie anything down. So obviously, you know, there's a, or there's that, cause he's dumbstruck in love right away. And she's very not put off by it, but she's wants to warn him ahead of time that she's, you know, she's not looking for anything. She has a hard time letting him in and things like that. But, there's a, the cool scene from The Graduate is, if you've seen The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, there's a scene where he comes out of the bathroom and the older woman, she is laying naked on the bed and the camera is unfocused on, from her, from behind her, over her hip and leg towards the open door. And it's focused on where he's at. And of course he comes out of the bathroom and sees she's naked, but you can't see that she's naked. Cause all you see is like the out of focus shape of her body, but you can tell that she doesn't have clothes on cause it's skin. And it's very, the, that mirrors that scene is obviously an homage to that scene, but also because that movie plays a big role in Tom's development as a lovesick puppy, as well as their what they do together, because of the whole scene I talked about where she's weeping at the end versus when he's super confused too. It makes me laugh every time I see that scene because she's bawling and he's just like, what the fuck is happening with this woman? It's pretty hilarious. There's a really big moment in the beginning where it kind of sets the tone for the movie, and it starts off with a little girl riding a bike down the city street, and she's going somewhere in a hurry, and it's at night, and ends up it's Tom's half sister who is played by Chloe Grace Mortez. If you don't know who that is, it's Kick-Ass from the, or it's presumed Kick-Ass. She plays a hit girl from the Kick-Ass movies. She's been a lot of things, but that's Chloe Grace Mortez. Funny story about her, actually. I met her sort of when Kick-Ass first came out, or right before it was coming out at Comic-Con. Me and my friend Keith, who I've talked about on this show before, hello Keith. We were walking in a very busy aisle, and I see this little girl in what I assume are her parents. I don't know. Walking, trying to get through this crowd, and I'm walking the same way. And this little girl is wearing a one of those like cheap, funny Batman masks, you know, like the plastic faces. It's just on the front with a rubber band holding it on. And so I'm a big guy, so I kind of part the way of the people to let them through. And she lifts the mask and says thank you. And her parents say thank you. I look down and it's her. And the reason she was wearing the mask is so no one recognizes who she is as they're going through the crowd. And I turned to my friend, I turned to Keith, and I'm like, yo, that was Hit Girl. And he's like, what? Like the little girl in the Batman mask. He's like, what, really? I was like, that's the girl who plays Hit Girl. I didn't know her name at the time. I just knew she was going to be in it because they show her in the trailers and everything. And I was like, it was her. Like he's like, what? I was like, it was the craziest thing. But that was a fun little story. Again, from Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, that happened many years ago. She's a tiny little thing then too, because she was, like I said, she was very, I don't even know how old she was at that point. But it was like one of her first big movies, if not like her first real movie that I can think of. Let's see. Kick-Ass was 2010. That was 8 years ago. That would have made her 12 at the time. So 12, she was 12 when I saw her, a little tiny little thing. That was actually a year after this movie came out. So I should have recognized her from this. But it was right on the top of everyone's mind, because Kick-Ass was very new at that moment, that juncture in time being released. Because I believe it had just come out, yeah, at the beginning of the summer in April of 2010. So you know, it was very fresh in my mind. I was like, oh shit, like that's little girl from Kick-Ass. That's amazing. But it's obviously she's in this too. So there you go from there. So the whole time that you go through, again, music plays a very big point in the mood that Tom is in, good and bad. There's one particular one, which happens to be the morning after their first night together, which is the graduate scene where she is laying on the bed naked. He comes out of the bathroom after dude's giving him this pep talk saying, hey, don't get ahead of yourself. She just wants to be friends. Yes, you're making out, but she's just a girl. Keep that in mind. She's no one special. You're not in love, blah, blah, blah. And of course he opens the door. She's naked. You assume they make love. There's no graphic scenes in it. The rated R comes from the language, because they believe this is rated R. Maybe not. It's got to be because of the language that they use in it. Probably tells me on here somewhere, but I don't know. Whatever. The next morning is the scene is one of my favorites because the. It starts off basically him coming down and doors open, and he does this. He has this stupid grin on his face, and he's super happy with himself. And a song starts playing, and it's a very. It opens up very big into the scene. It is "You Make My Dreams" by Hall & Oates, and it plays through, and it's a very funny. Scene because he starts walking in the street and all the people are like, hey, and they, you know, pointing at him and all happy, and it turns into this sing this basically like song and dance routine where it's one of those things from like those teen movies where like everyone just breaks into song and dance, and like a cartoon bird at one point lands on his finger. He sees him, he looks at his reflection in a mirror, and he's cracking himself, and you see from his point of view, and he sees the reflection of Han Solo in the window, and it's super, super ridiculous because he's so happy and he's so in love with himself and with Summer, and he thinks everything's just gonna be, you know, roses from then on out. But shortly after that, it starts to fall apart. But that was one of my favorite scenes because it's so ridiculous, him singing and dancing, and then at the end, when it ends, everyone just kind of turns and goes amongst their business. Super hilarious. Other cameos in this we're talking about. So you have Chloe Grace Moretz as his half sister. You have Clark Gregg, who was famous for being Agent Coulson on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as the early Marvel movies. Taken too soon from the Marvel movies and passed down to his TV, unfortunately. So it has them. It has Yvette Nicole Brown, which you may know from Community, as well as being a super fan of The Walking Dead, amongst other things. You have a cameo by Harrison Ford as Han Solo. You have, I don't know if you guys all know the name, but Jeffrey Arnend is his name. He is fairly recognizable actor. If you ever see him, you can look him up. I'm not going to tell you much more about him because I tell you he's in this and you're like, what? Those are some of the bigger names that are in it. There'll be a lot of people you recognize. Matthew Gray Gubler, who is in NCIS, I think it is. Or is it Criminal Minds? He's in Criminal Minds. He plays the genius in Criminal Minds. He's in it too. He plays his neighbor and one of his best friends in the movie as well. But they're tertiary characters in this. They're there to give him support and try to help him through. There's a really funny scene though with Paul, who is Matthew Gray Guller's character, and Tom, where he knocks on the door, he opens it, and Tom opens the door, and he goes, "You sleazeball," or something like that. He's basically saying like, hey, you didn't tell me you scored a date or whatever with her, and you're talking about all this stuff. He's like, yeah, what base did you get to? Did you get a blow job, a hand job, whatever? And he goes, no jobs, I'm still unemployed. And they're talking, he's like, so you're trying to tell me this girl you've been obsessed over? And he's like, shh, And then you hear the bathroom door and she comes out and they're like trying to act like, you know, she's trying to act like she didn't hear anything. And then, so he goes, well, if I just gotta go do that thing. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll talk to you later. And he goes, let me know if any job openings pop up. And he goes, yeah. And then he's like, so then it's just Tom and Summer left. And she goes, oh, well, let's, you know, he's like, we should go eat. He's like, yeah, I'm totally starving. And then she walks out and he realizes, obviously, he heard a lot of what was going on. So that was a pretty funny scene too on there. There's a lot of parts in and out of the relationship. There's a part where they kind of reconcile part of the 500 days. And he, to Tom's point of view, he thinks they might be getting back together. They meet on a train headed out to another character's, in the movie wedding that, and at this point, Summer has already left the job of the assistant at the greeting card company. And her and Tom have obviously split up and they run into each other and he tries to act like he doesn't see her. She walks up to him. They start a conversation over coffee and then they spend the weekend together at the wedding and hanging out and on the train ride there and the train ride back. And she invites him to this housewarming party, but there's this key word in there you have to pay attention to. She says, we're having a party. And earlier in the movie, when he came out of her apartment, she didn't have any roommates. So you're thinking, well, that's weird. Like, what is, you know, who's we? But he doesn't catch that. He's just enamored again. He's just in his head. But she has yet to say anything other than that. So he's just in there. And so he says, yeah, let me see if I can make it. So he decides to go. And this is another really cool storytelling part. The narrator says, there, he talks about how Tom's expectations and reality, he thinks they're finally going to match up. And it splits the screen. And it says, expectations, reality. And you get to see them both unfold and what he thinks is going to happen, what actually happens. And then you can see how they break. And it's just, you find out she's actually, the party they're having is an engagement party because she's getting engaged. And she didn't tell him, but as a savage beast, she invites him there. So, and doesn't say anything after spending time with the wedding with him, having fun, falling asleep on his shoulder on the train ride home. Never once does it cross her mind to say, oh, I'm engaged and the party I invited you to is actually an engagement party with all my friends and you're just going to show up. And it's devastating to watch that whole thing. And of course, it goes in this dark slide and depression. And he starts to slack at work. He doesn't show up for a bunch of days. When he does, he breaks and just quits his job because he's fed up with love and all this stuff. And it's pretty drastic. And he starts to become happy because he's like, I'm out of this. He's like, you know what? I'm going to move on. I'm going to try to be an architect like I went to school for. So he starts drawing again, getting all his confidence, getting his portfolio up. And he's going through different jobs and he ends up not getting one. Then he goes to, towards the end of the movie, he's getting ready to go to another interview. And he goes to his favorite spot in the city, which is this park on this hill that overlooks a part of the city. And he sitting on a bench and he hears someone say his name. He looks behind him on another bench and it's Summer. And she's looking very adult. Her hair's done. She's wearing a dress. They have a little conversation where he basically says, why didn't you tell me? She's like, there's parts where I want. I tried to, and which is bullshit. Like she never did. And then she explains like, you are in love, but it's not me that you're in love with, and all these different things. And like, he asks her like, how do you know? And she's like, explains to me, it's just one of those things where like, I didn't expect it. It just hit me, which is almost line for line what he said to her earlier in the movie about when she says, how do you believe in love? Like, what is it? And he tries to explain it to her and it's almost exactly the same words. And then so they have that part, which is just heart wrenching as well. Then he goes off, she leaves, he goes off to his interview. He shows up to this building, he's at awe in this gorgeous building, and he's trying to get his job in. And he goes up, and he sits down, and you see this girl, and she goes, excuse me. He's like, what was that? And she's like, do you go to this one park? And he says, yeah, it's my favorite park. She goes, that's my favorite park too. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. He's gonna find someone new right after being literally destroyed yet again by Summer. So they're going through, and like they're both there for the same job interview. So they have this kind of back and forth where he says, "Well, I hope you don't get it," and she's like, "Well, I hope you don't get it either." And then so he's getting ready to leave. He goes, comes back, and says, "Hey, like after this, do you want to go get like coffee or something?" She goes, "Well, I'm supposed to meet somebody." He goes, "All right, no, whatever." He goes off. She says, "Wait, wait," and he comes back. He says, "Yes, sure," and she gets all like, you know, kind of flustered, and she's like, "Yeah, why not? Let's do it." And he's like, "All right. My name's Tom." She goes, "My name's Autumn." And he goes, "Oh," and he walks off. The obvious, if you're not getting the point of that, is the movie is 500 Days of Summer. If you know that your seasons, what is a season that follows summer? Summer? Autumn. See how it works? It's a very clever wordplay. And very clever storytelling, if you ask me. And then that's when you, if you're a weak-willed person, you get a little, you know, teary-eyed and happy that Tom has found this girl that he potentially has so much in common with, because they're both obviously architects or wannabe architects. They're trying to get into architecture. They both like the same park, so you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, that's basically the movie. I didn't spoil too much of it. There's a lot more in there to cry over, I mean, to be happy about. And the relationship between him and his friends is very fun, too. And, of course, you get to see the ups and downs of his life throughout these 500 days. The ups and the downs and the low points or whatever. That's it for this week's episode, I think. So you've been hearing me stammer through 500 Days of Summer. Without trying to spoil. I said I was going to spoil stuff, and I'm trying not to, even though Anthony wants me to spoil stuff, because you may never watch it. You should watch it, everybody, not just Anthony. Excellent movie. You should give it a shot if you want to. You know, it's the month of love. Valentine's Day is this month. Matter of fact, it's in like a week and a half or something like that, right? So, you know, sit down with yourself or someone you love, and hopefully you're in a good spot with them, because this movie will help a lot with that. If you're on the outs, this may actually break you up, because, you know, it'll be very rough to watch with somebody you may not be completely happy with at the time, because, well, you know, there's some parts in this movie that are very rough to watch if you're might be feeling those times. But if you're also in a new relationship, I would not watch this. I would watch this by yourself, because you don't want to cry in front of the new person that you're getting with. Just letting you know. But I think that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I will talk to you guys next week, and let's be awesome. Bye.